Let's pray before we start. Father God, thank you for your word. Thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus. Please would you amaze us this evening with his power and his graciousness and his kindness to us sinful people. Amen. Well, I imagine that most of us at some point or another will have been in a desperate situation of some sort, like that time you're gasping for a cup of tea, you're midway through making it, you open the fridge and there's no milk. It's a disaster. Absolutely desperate. Or the time you were walking, we don't have many teenagers here, they're all asleep, where I wish I was, walking along the corridor to class and suddenly remembering that you didn't do the homework that the teacher had set. Desperate. I was in that situation more than once. It's terrifying. It's bad news. Greg. Where did Greg go? He's around somewhere. He's back there. Greg knows all about being desperate. He's a Newcastle United fan. 3 points from 9 games.
We got 3 yesterday.
Did you? I haven't seen Match of the Day. Thanks for that. Staying on the football theme, but perhaps a bit more seriously, last weekend saw Glenn Hoddle collapse in the BT Sports studios from a heart attack and having to be rushed to hospital, a desperate situation needed dealing with urgently. Or I'm sure we've all seen on the news the helicopter that left Leicester City's football ground and came down moments later with 5 people inside who were all killed. Hopefully none of us have been in that sort of a desperate situation, but we've all been in some sort of desperate situation at some time or another. And in tonight's passage, we meet a desperate man in a desperate situation. Here's the desperate situation. Look down at verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Just to explain that a little bit, leprosy is kind of a catch-all term for various skin diseases, and the implications to Luke's readers would have been absolutely clear. He would have been an outcast. These skin conditions would have been contagious, incurable, and probably most significantly, would have made someone unclean according to the Jewish law. Just to show you that in the Bible, Moses and Aaron's sister Miriam were struck with leprosy in Numbers chapter 12. In verse 10, we read that Aaron turned towards her and saw that she had a defiling skin disease. Defiled simply meaning to be unclean, according to the Jewish law. Later in verse 12, he describes it in terms of her being like as one dead, whose flesh is half eaten away. The Jewish law did not allow for anything decaying to be in God's presence. And so Miriam was made an outcast. She was put outside of the camp, away from God and God's people, for 7 days, after which God healed her and she was allowed to rejoin the community. And so suffering from leprosy would have left you shut out from the community of God's people, seen as defiled and unclean according to the Old Testament law. And in Luke chapter 5, verse 12, we're introduced to such a man. Not just a leper, but covered with leprosy. Dr. Luke giving us his professional opinion here. Not just a hint of leprosy, a dab of leprosy on an easily concealed big toe, but he's covered in leprosy. He's the defiled of the defiled, the unclean of the unclean, an absolute, total outcast, shut out from the community of God's people, from all of society. He's a desperate man in a desperate situation, and he knows it. Verse 12 again, while Jesus was in one of the towns, a man came along who was covered with leprosy. Did you see where Jesus was? He was in one of the towns. So what on earth was this man doing there? He knows that if He had been seen by the townspeople, recognized by the townspeople. He would have been treated horrendously. He would have been run out of town immediately. But it was worth the risk because he was in a desperate situation. He had heard about Jesus. We read back in chapter 4, verse 14, and again in verse 37, how the news about Jesus has been spreading around the place, throughout the whole countryside. And he'd heard about Jesus. He'd heard the stories of the man from Nazareth who claimed to be the promised Messiah that Isaiah had spoken of, who'd been proclaiming good news, who'd been healing the sick, and even dealing with demonic spirits. Surely it was worth the risk to come out and find this Jesus. And when he finds Jesus, what does he do? He falls on his face to the ground and he begs Jesus. He's absolutely desperate and he begs Jesus. On the 23rd of June this year, 12 boys from a Thai football team and their coach went caving in northern Thailand when disaster struck. A storm broke out outside and the caves began to flood and they were trapped. Rescue efforts were complicated. The caves were big enough just about for a person to get through. A person with breathing apparatus getting through was much trickier. And so by the time the first rescuers got to those trapped boys, they had been in the cave for 10 whole days. Can you imagine how they would have felt at that point? Getting hungrier by the day, having no clue when or even if somebody would come to get them. And now can you imagine how they would have felt the first time they caught a glimpse of the faces of those who had come to rescue them? Perhaps that's a little bit like what the man in our story was feeling. Desperate, longing for an answer to his problem. And so when he hears Jesus is coming to his town, he seeks him out. He risks going into town. He seeks him out and he falls on his face before Jesus and he begs him, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Do you see, he has no doubt about Jesus' ability to make him clean. Read that again. "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And a little hat tip to Paul Feasey, who last week pointed out that Simon Peter, in the previous story in Luke's Gospel, had gone from calling Jesus Master in verse 5 to calling him Lord in verse 8. If Paul hadn't mentioned that, I definitely wouldn't have noticed how the leper addresses Jesus in our passage, but he calls him Lord. He's heard the reports, he's heard the news that's been going around. He believes that Jesus is the Messiah that God promised. And he calls him Lord. Lord, if you're willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. The question in the man's mind is not one of, is Jesus able? He's convinced of that already. The question in his mind is Jesus willing? Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Has anyone seen the TV program Embarrassing Bodies? Throw a hand in the air. No one willing to admit it. I've only caught a glimpse of it once. It was enough. If you haven't seen it, let me fill you in on the premise so you know what we're talking about. After I've done that, you'll either feel compelled to watch it or you'll have absolutely no desire whatsoever. But basically, it's a show where a couple of doctors tour the country in some sort of mobile GP surgery, and people with weird bodily ailments go to see them, show them these weird issues, all for your viewing pleasure. Of course, all of us know when we go to the doctor that they're trained not to react when you reveal your oozing boils and pustules and what have you. And still, it must be pretty nerve-wracking to reveal all in front of the doctor for fear of what they'll say or for the look of shock or horror or amusement that might come across their face. Vulnerable and exposed, each patient relies on the willingness of the doctor to treat them rather than reject them and humiliate them. And I wonder if the leper in our reading was in something of a similar position. He's vulnerable and exposed before Jesus. He's risked all by going into town. And he begs Jesus for help, and he relies on Jesus to be willing. Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And the great news for the man is there in verse 13. Jesus is willing. Jesus reaches out his hand. This is verse 13. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. There's an overarching aim in this section of Luke's gospel to show us that Jesus has authority through his word. But in this little story, in this particular story, we see that Jesus is not only able but willing. That seems to be an emphasis that Luke is making. Jesus wants to make the man clean. He desires to make the man clean of the disease that keeps him from being acceptable to God and shut out from God's people. Of course, absolutely, we see Jesus' power in these verses. Just a word from Jesus, just a touch, and God's just a touch from God's promised King. And there at the end of verse 13, immediately the leprosy left him. It's remarkable that we're told that Jesus touched the man, totally unthinkable. If you touch a leper, you become unclean. But such is Jesus' power that rather than him being unclean, he makes the leper clean. I think it's important that we don't miss the miracle of healing in this story. Perhaps we're a little bit familiar with this. They don't astound us like they should. Let's not miss the miracle. Let's not be amazed by Jesus. Let's not forget to be amazed by Jesus' power. But at the same time, let's make sure we notice the emphasis that Luke puts on showing us that Jesus is a willing Savior. Think of those boys trapped in the cave again. And imagine that moment when they see the light of a torch appear in the water and perhaps a snorkeled face emerges. What do you think sounds better to a 12-year-old boy that's been stuck in a cave for 10 days? I am able to save you, or I'm going to save you. The man in our story already knows that Jesus can make him clean. What he wants to know is if Jesus is willing. And what sweet news it must have been to hear Jesus say, I am willing, be clean. What good news to have a Savior who is both able and willing. Able and willing. One or the other doesn't really offer anybody much hope. But Jesus is both able and willing. And Jesus' care for the man goes much, much further than that. Verse 14, then Jesus ordered him, don't tell anyone, but go and show yourselves to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Now, on one level, the rigmarole of sending the man to the temple to be signed off by the chief priests and whoever as fully healed of his leprosy would have served as evidence and validation of Jesus' claims of who he is, further proof of and testimony to his power. But strikingly, it also meant that this man could now rejoin the community. He's no longer an outcast. He's no longer shut out. He would be fully accepted back into society. That's the restoration that Jesus offers to this desperate, leprous man. Hands up again if you have or have ever had leprosy. Also no. I didn't imagine we'd get many takers on that one. So the question has to be, well, where does this bite for us? And I think that what we're supposed to see is that the man's leprosy has a spiritual equivalent. Actually, in most of what we've been seeing in Luke's gospel so far in this series, in much of it, there has been a spiritual dimension, more or less clearly. Right at the start, it was plainly obvious. Jesus does battle with Satan in the desert, spiritual battle. Later on, chapter 4, verse 14, Jesus reads from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And in Isaiah, those ideas are best understood not in a literal sense, but in a spiritual sense. Jesus, God's anointed one, would proclaim good news to the spiritually poor. He would proclaim freedom for those who are spiritually imprisoned in their sin. Paul spoke last week about being enslaved to idols, false gods, sinful desires. Why not have a listen to that online? He would proclaim recovery of sight for the spiritually blind and set the spiritually oppressed free. In our passage, there's an emphasis on the idea of being clean. It's repeated three times in verses 12, 13, and 14. I think it's interesting that Luke records in this story the language of being clean or cleansing, where elsewhere he writes about healing, end of chapter 4, and in fact even in this story in verse 15. And we've run into that idea of unclean before. Back in chapter 4, in the episode where Jesus meets the demon-possessed man, verse 33, if you want to have a quick look at it, would be better translated to tell us that the man had an unclean spirit. So in all of these ways, I think we're showing that there's a clear spiritual dimension to all that is going on. Last piece of evidence for you. When the leper meets Jesus, he falls on his face. And that's exactly what Simon Peter had done in the previous story. And what was Simon's problem in verse 8? It's that he was a sinful man. His issue was a spiritual one. And so let's not miss the spiritual aspect of what's going on here. At first glance, it might seem like a story that's a bit outside of our own experience. Not a single hand went up in this room. I'm a little relieved, I have to say. No leprosy in this room. And that can make it a little hard to relate to. But the reality is that for all of us, in and of ourselves, we're spiritual lepers. We're spiritual lepers. We're spiritually unclean before God. As Aaron described Miriam, each one of us is like as one dead. And Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins." We're spiritual lepers, and our spiritual leprosy, our spiritual uncleanliness, and our sinfulness means that we can't be in God's presence. We can't be part of God's people. We're spiritual outcasts, shut out from God's presence and his people and his blessing. That's our desperate situation. And yet when Jesus meets the man with leprosy, he deals with his physical leprosy and his ritual uncleanliness and his social exclusion. Jesus makes the man ritually and physically clean, and he brings him back into society as a fully accepted member of the community. And that too is a metaphor. It has a spiritual equivalent. It's what he does for all people, for me and for you. He comes to proclaim good news to desperate spiritual lepers. He comes to deal with spiritual uncleanliness, making us clean in God's sight and dealing with our spiritual uncleanness, bringing us back into relationship with God as one of his people through his own sin-bearing death on the cross. And all it takes is for us to recognize our desperate need of him like the leper did, and then to throw ourselves on his mercy. The wonderful news is that Jesus is a willing Savior who will not turn us away. He desires to deal with our uncleanliness and our exclusion and to restore us back into God's people if we trust him. It is great news. If we're Christians here today who are trusting in Jesus, we can rejoice that he willingly went to the cross to deal with our sin. And in fact, we can look forward to the new creation when our sinful nature is finally put to death and we will sin no more. And in the meantime, what a difference it will make to us in this coming week when we inevitably forget about him, reject him, live our own way instead of his. We know, we can trust that he is a willing Savior who longs for us to come back to him. And if we're not Christians, still wondering what we think about Jesus, well, let me ask you this. Are you convinced that Jesus is who he claimed to be? That's the purpose of these stories in Luke's gospel. They are there to make us certain that Jesus is God's king, the promised king. The leper believed that. Will you? I don't want to tread on the toes of whoever's preaching in a few weeks' time. But if you look on to verse 31, Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but those who are ill. I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. And the reality is that everybody falls into the sinner's camp. We're all spiritual lepers. We all fall in the sinner's camp. There is no one in the righteous camp. But the great tragedy is that some will not see that they are ill, and so they won't go to the doctor. Some won't recognize their sin, their spiritual uncleanliness. And so they never throw themselves on the mercy of the one who is able to make them clean. Or perhaps you're concerned that Jesus wouldn't have time for you, you're not impressive enough, or you've rejected him too badly or for too long. There's no way he would have time for you. Well, remember that leper in our story was covered in leprosy. He was the leper of lepers, the unclean of the unclean, an outcast of outcasts. And Jesus wanted to make him clean and to bring him back into the people of God. Jesus is not just able, but he is wonderfully and amazingly willing. Please don't miss out on that. We're going to spend some time praying. We'll start all together. If we could speak out prayers of praise to the Lord Jesus for being a willing Savior. Let's lift our voices, make sure we speak loudly so we can all join in and say amen together with you at the end. Let's pray together.